Now, just to sort of pick up where we're at the end of that topic, we actually are going to have Carson Guys, staff attorney for Judge Hervey. He is a man of great stature and great intellect, and he has a very short bio. So he's going to talk to you about forensic evidence and appeals, and he's going to tower over you when he does.
Okay. The topic is forensic science on appeal. Presentation kind of bounces around a little bit. Starts with 702. It's where you have to start with scientific evidence. I think everybody's pretty familiar with the rule. The rule has generated more jurisprudence than most rules that I'm familiar with. And so I'll go through this just briefly. Talk about how evidence is admissible under Rule 702. You've got the witness qualifies by knowledge, skill, experience, training, or education, that the subject matter of the testimony is appropriate for expert testimony, and that the expert testimony will actually assist the fact finder in deciding the case. For qualifications, the court has said that proponent must show a sufficient background in a particular field, and that their background goes to the matter on which the witness is to give an opinion. There was a Texas Supreme Court case, the name escapes me right now, but it was a gentleman that specialized in fabricating, it was something crazy, I can't remember now, but the plaintiff wanted him to testify about manufacturing airplane components, which he was an expert in one thing, but definitely not an expert in that, so that does come up. Double slide. And then you've got the reliability aspect that you have to show by clear and convincing evidence. And this is also where we get into the hard science versus soft science. And so the hard sciences, we've said, refer to Newtonian sciences, and the soft sciences refer to non-scientific expert testimony. The hard science case is, of course, Kelly Neno is the soft science case. I think we're pretty familiar with that. Under Kelly, to show reliability, you have to show by clear and convincing evidence outside the presence of the jury that the scientific theory is valid, that the technique applying the theory is valid, and the technique was properly applied on the occasion in question. And the court has, and I don't list them all here, but we have cases for every prong of 702 and how we've interpreted it. So there's a lot of case law out there. This is the Nino standard, where you just, it's a little bit lighter burden because it's not hard science. The field of expertise is a legitimate one, whether the subject matter of the expert's testimony is within the scope of that field, and whether the expert's testimony properly relies upon and or utilizes the principles involved in the field. Here's some examples, and this was taken from a Judge Walker opinion. I don't know if he's here right now. But these are just some of the different topics, areas, fields of science that we have addressed. You can see abusive head trauma, DNA, gas chromatograph, mass spectrometer testing. I think I got that right. Enzyme multiplied immunoassay technique, retrograde extrapolation. I have a case on that. Medical testimony and sexual assault cases, intoxilizer breath test device, urine analysis for marijuana by ADX device, tool mark examination, the intoxilizer, the HGN test, and fingerprint comparison. And this is just a sampling. Like I said, there's a lot of cases out there, so I'm not saying that this is a complete list. Under Nino, we've looked at the weapon focus effect, and that was in a case called Blaisdell, depending on how you say it, and that was about preserving the reliability prong, and I believe the court held that it was not preserved in that case, so Satanism was one of the more interesting ones to me. And one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is, so the rules of preservation of error apply, and they apply not just to 702, but all to the jurisprudence where 702 has been interpreted, reliability, all of those, the fit, all of those things. The court has said that judicial notice can serve to not, and well, you'll see when I talk about the cases, but it started with Emerson, where we said that basically the court would do essentially a de novo review and that the court could do outside research and take notice of that.